discipline of the provincial Conservatives. I had said earlier in today's show that a corporation or a company demonstrating their values can help people make informed consumer choices. And I think there's value in that. I think
then
that
they can
important.
Advertise in the pink pages. They don't need to march in the parade.
Are there other ways of achieving that goal?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Do I think that people who are in corporations, if they, you know, give them a day off work to go do the marching, or they want to, you know, if it's the employees, like an employee resource group, and it's all the gay employees of that place, then yeah, then, you know, it's your sense of community in your workplace. I get that as well. Like, these things I understand, and I think that there's a value and a place for it. Now, Vancouver, famously, we talked, I think we're one of the front runners on introducing a criteria for specifically like a scoring system.
Like a rubric.
A rubric to be able to attend the Pride Parade. You know, do you have affirming policies? Do you support actively, not just in June.
Have you had controversies in the news this year?
Et cetera, et cetera. Like, are you actually supporting the community, not just showing up on a nice sunny weekend? And frequently, political parties just don't make the cut.
Yeah.
Now, in Saskatchewan, I believe it's Regina, the Queen City Pride also banned the Saskatchewan Party. Similar reason, they brought in legislation. They were uninvited from the party. Other pride organizations in Saskatchewan were asked, are you going to come together as province and essentially ban this party province-wide? And several of them said, look, honestly, I don't think they're going to make the cut. Like, I don't think the Saskatchewan Party is pro-queer enough to make it into our parade. Like, their track record is not sufficient. You know, and I think that that makes sense. I think if you want to march with us, if you want to be in our celebration, if we want to be expressing joy with us and be joyful, then you can't, you know, what's the line here? You may not join our celebrations in June when you plan to attack us in September. Like, it is, it's a lot. But this has really dominated at least Western Canada's queer community in terms of what happens next. Very interesting things to go on. All right, we are going to jump to our next track. But when we get back, I will very likely be discussing plastic testicles. So you've been prepared for that. This is Sorry for Myself by Tomboy. And we will be back just after this.
But I chipped away at the feeling of losing everything over something I never even wanted in the first place. In the first place.
My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we're talking about gay stuff today. Okay. All right. I had alluded yes. to plastic testicles. Specifically, I am referring to a study out of the University of New Mexico that was looking at toxicology. It was released in the Journal of Toxicological Sciences. Mm-hmm. Say that five times fast. Toxicological Science. No, I said it wrong. It's toxicological.
Toxicological.
Science. Toxicological yeah. sciences. I hope no one is feeling squeamish. The University of New Mexico looked at testicular tissue mm-hmm. from both dogs and the humans. They tested 23 human testicular tissues and 47 dog testicular tissues. And what they found was a pretty astonishing result. In every single one of them, there were very small pieces of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what was really shocking is that there was three times more pieces of microplastics in the human testicular tissue compared to the doggos.
Yeah, I'd believe that. Unfortunately, microplastics have been recorded as getting basically all over the dang place. Liver tissue has been a very good accumulator for it. It's a real problem.
Now, they reckon that PVC, polyvinyl chloride, has been related to lower sperm counts. And this particular environmental health scientist in New Mexico said that it may be correlated with potential function. It could release chemicals that disrupt spermiogenesis and endocrine disruption. I'm struggling with words today. Science lesson here. Anyway, they reckon that it's not great having mm-hmm. microplastic in the testes. Mm-hmm. Certainly something to be aware of. Maybe be careful. Maybe. Yeah, eat more fresh vegetables. I think that's probably
the fresh vegetables probably also have microplastics in
them. Oh my gosh. I still eat more fresh vegetables. That's my
Well, yeah, do that anyway.
Absolutely.
Because you need the fiber.
Now, we didn't get around to it last week, but I do want to do a shout out to the organization of Pride at Work for the Ida Hobbit, the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. They were at the Toronto Stock Exchange, and they got to open the exchange, which is a very cool thing.
Okay, yeah.
That Pride at Work, a celebration of being openly queer in workplaces as an organization, got to like ring the bell and open up the exchange. I think that's mm-hmm. that's really cool.
As small a story as it is, back in the 70s, they never would have tolerated that. So, I mean, you've come a long way,
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
I also have a little story that is also kind of really cool news. Intersex Canada, now just for a quick brief, people are like, oh my God, what is this? Is this a new acronym? No, it's the I in to us LGBTQI, GLBTQI, whenever we see I, that's what we mean, is the intersex. It is, I think it's 1 in 10,000 people is where we've sort of landed in terms of the science. 1 in 10,000 people have some kind of physiological or genetic makeup that is inconsistent with one specific sex. So it could be different chromosomes, it could be different physical attributes.
There's a rainbow of causes, and
They have announced their first ever Intersex Canada conference happening in early July in the GTA area. Now, when I say it's 1 in 10,000 people, they are this is not a lot of people. It
No,
is
well,
not a lot of people.
it's actually a very big field for pediatricians as well, because there is the idea of in some cases, like, you don't need to treat people for just being born differently, but in some cases it actually is an issue of the intersex condition can disrupt your normal functioning, especially kidney function shows up quite a bit. So getting sort of you do pediatric treatments for people with intersex conditions without basically chopping off bits that they need, which is a historical major problem. So in terms of like pediatric health, absolutely. There's dozens of people across Canada who really want to attend something like this and being able to explore with other people and actually being able to meet intersex people as adults. How did it all work out for you? How can we do better? Like it's a good thing. I'm into this.
Absolutely. All right. I think for the other news that we have, I don't know what stories you've got that you were sitting on, but I did want to acknowledge that the FBI and Homeland Security has issued a notice to Pride organizations all over the place. I believe that CSIS, they did issue a statement to the CBC earlier in February, and I think they've responded to media in the last
Yeah,
week.
with weaker language than the FBI, so they're not as concerned, but they are putting up alarm bells.
Yeah, absolutely. So the release on the 10th of May said, and I quote here, they were talking about foreign terrorist organizations. These are, I mean, it's ISIS, it's the actual terrorist organizations here. They say, quote, efforts to commit or inspire violence against holiday celebrations, including Pride celebrations or LGBTQIA plus related venues are compounded by the current heightened threat environment in the United States and other Western countries. And they go on and they say that FTOs and their supporters have, so foreign terrorist organizations and their supporters have previously promoted anti-LGBTQIA rhetoric and targeted LGBTQIA plus related events. It is pretty significant when Homeland Security and the Federal Bureau of Investigations issues a pretty stark warning in advance of Pride, noting that that there could be some serious threats. Now, Canada's intelligence agency, the CSIS, they have also issued a statement. The statement I see here is one that they passed along to the CBC a couple of months ago, and it says, quote, CSIS assesses that the violent threat posed by the anti-gender movement is almost certain to continue over the coming year, and that violent actors may be inspired by the University of Waterloo attack to carry out their own extreme violence against the 2S LGBTQ plus I QI plus community, or against other targets that they believe are representing the gender ideology, quote, agenda, end quote. So it is not a really safe environment for Pride organizations, but it's definitely been taken seriously by Pride organizations. The federal Liberal government handed out millions of dollars to Pride festivals, specifically with the purpose of increasing security. But we encourage everyone celebrating Pride over the month of June to do so, just aware of the threat level against these events.
I'm sure we'll update as CSIS and the FBI come out with more information.
Absolutely, absolutely. First of all, RuPaul's Drag Race winner Nymphia Wind. We didn't really cover RuPaul. We don't really cover RuPaul's Drag Race
Not
much
really.
at all. But RuPaul's Drag Race Nymphia Wind, the winner, performed for the outgoing president of Taiwan. President saying when it's it's a pretty historic moment. It was a drag performance at the presidential palace. It may well be one of the first drag performances officially at a presidential palace. It was very well received. It garnered a lot of international attention as a result. Liechtenstein, which is a very small country, Liechtenstein legalized same-sex adoption rights and same-sex marriage with an almost unanimous vote in the last week or two, which is also very exciting. And the host of RuPaul's Drag Race France, Nikki Doll, may well have broken her own little record. So for a stretch in Isles of France, she carried the Olympic flame. So people familiar with the Olympics know that the flame goes from X point to X point, ending up obviously at the Olympic Stadium. And people run with the Olympic flame, and it's a huge honor to carry the Olympic flame.
So she was a flaming drag queen for a while.
She was literally a flaming
Yeah.
drag queen for a while. Absolutely. But yeah, that was pretty cool. There's another drag queen scheduled to carry the Olympic flame, I believe, in Paris. But yeah, pretty cool surprise figure detail out of France there. Also worth mentioning that there was a pretty significant attack against a trans woman in Argentina. 10 police officers have now been charged with the death of a trans woman, Sofia Fernandez, in Argentina. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. We also were keeping an eye on Saint Vincent and the Grenadines. A court there has upheld a ban on gay sex in Saint Vincent and the Grenadines. So yeah, we do keep a look at all of these things as they happen. Now you had a British story, and it wasn't about the Jenny Lex. So
No.
what's the British story you had?
It was a pretty short one. Basically, you know how Justin Trudeau and the Liberal government about 7 years ago basically went around apologizing for all the historical wrongs of the Canadian government?
Yeah.
Well, Rishi Sunak, representing the UK government, is doing, well, I mean, I don't know if he's going to do a full tour, but he is looking at, well, not looking at, he did provide an official apology on behalf of the UK government. For LGBT veterans who served in the armed forces between 1967 and 2000 during the same-sex attracted ban. You could call it a homophobic ban. They use different language at the time. So far, it doesn't look like there's any kind of, I don't want to say repercussions. Like there's nothing planned in terms of like remuneration for those who were unjustly removed. They were, at this point in time, there's just this official apology for the mistreatment and the unfair removal of such individuals. Yeah, they're looking into financial awards for those who are fired, but there is nothing official yet. Basically, they're just starting off with the apology.
Well,
But
I don't
it's
think the
early days.
apology tour is going to get very far because a couple of days ago, the Prime Minister of Britain, Rishi Sunak, stood in the middle of the rain and announced a sudden UK election, which has been nicknamed the Jenny Lex, happening in, I believe it's in July. It's a very quick turnaround into the election.
You make it sound like that time on The Office when Michael Scott declared bankruptcy. Like, did he just walk into the middle of the street and said, "I declare an election," and
Pretty
everyone just
much,
looked?
yeah. It's worth
Okay.
watching. The video is hilarious. But it may also do with the fact that the Conservatives are double digits behind the Labour Party in the
Oh,
UK,
yeah.
and they're facing critiques left, right, and centre,
Oh, yeah.
including a recent decision at the High Court of Belfast. Now, there is a law, the 2023 Illegal Migration Act, that has been all the way to the British Supreme Court. And this act, essentially, it's been condemned because what it does, it takes people who are illegally immigrating into Britain, puts them on a plane, and ships them to Rwanda. Now, everyone said, are you shipping gay people who are fleeing Rwanda or anywhere else back to Rwanda.
Yeah,
Like
yeah, yeah.
it's abhorrent. Now, Justice Humphreys of the
And they're not
Belfast,
just shipping Rwandans back to
it's
Rwanda. Anybody.
anybody who's illegally immigrating to Britain
Yeah,
gets put
you
on a
could be from
plane.
Poland, and they're gonna send you off to Rwanda.
We'll send you to Rwanda. Now, Justice Humphreys of the Belfast High Court ruled just last week that provisions of the Illegal Migration Act should be disapplied in Northern Ireland. Essentially, what he is saying that for Northern Ireland, which does fall under the jurisdiction of the British government, this particular law should not apply there because it undermines human rights protections,
Yes.
specifically because it undermines human rights protections from the post-Brexit Windsor framework, so the agreement between Ireland and Northern Ireland. It also undermines the European Convention of Human Rights. Now, this is the exact same reason why critics have challenged this law in British courts up and down all the way. And then the British eventually said, look, technically, by the skin of its teeth, it's fine. But in Belfast, they said, well, it's not fine in Northern Ireland, so this won't be
I don't
allowed.
know. Over the past year, I've seen even conservative Brits basically saying, yes, we need to do something about illegal immigration, but this is nuts. This is a crazy plan. Who came up with this? Like, it is controversial even within the party that actually voted it in. It's not a well-regarded approach. Even among those who really want to just round everybody up and boot them out the country, they're still like, Rwanda? What? Like, it's weird. It's weird. There's no way of interpreting this other than it's a weird approach.
I also wanted, in closing, to mention that for about maybe a week, the National Park Service in the United States had sent a directive to all of their employees saying that they shall not participate in LGBTQ and Pride Month events in uniform. It's worth noting that Pride Service had marched as a contingent in several prides all over the United States, but they issued a notice saying nobody in uniform in their uniform at these pride events. Now, there was significant backlash from the National Park Service employees in the United States, and within about a week, they suddenly changed their minds. So they are now allowed to wear the uniform. So really, no change over last year.
The only justification I can think of is that when you wear a uniform, you represent the organization. And if you're not PR trained, you should probably not represent the organization. But I think there's a million ways of working around that. Like, it, I don't know. I mean, but you also know my attitude about people in uniforms. Everyone who's not queer at Pride. So
Exactly.
I'm kind of
You are quite
indifferent.
hostile to anyone at Pride, I think, at this point. All right. I believe we have run out of time. We will be playing out with Can I by Afrikaner Man, Fairy Tale, and we will be back next week. And I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian, and thank you for
Can you call
listening.
me on my cell phone? Can I hang out with you? We can do. Can I hang out with you? stream at night.
Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Maybe you're a parent, a family member, employer, a coworker, an educator, a healthcare provider. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
Join me, Robin, every Friday at noon for Roots and Berries. Tune in to hear bluegrass, old-time music, and other rootsy little nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and pickers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Ooh.